as we continue our discussions with candidates in Mayo and Barker, let's hear from Tony Passon, Liberal member who's been in Barker since 2013. The Mount Gambier-born South Australian splits his time across the electorate between Murray Bridge, the Riverland and the South East, and he joins me now. Hi, Tony.
Morning, Jenny.
Now, your seat has been traditionally safe, but there's a lot of contenders this year. You're up against eight other candidates. How are you feeling this election?
Well, commentators might regard it as safe. I never treat it that way. And I think it's fantastic that there are a total of nine candidates, including myself, seeking election to the seat of Barker. I think democracy is so important, and I think choice is important, and I think a robust contest election time is important. And I'm a bit like a kid before Christmas. I love elections. I love putting forward my portfolio of work as a statement of what I've been able to achieve over the most recent term and the years leading up to that. And a bit like I didn't mind getting my report card at school if I'd done the work, I'm looking forward to the decision that the people of Barker will make on the 21st of May.
What are some of those proud moments in your position in Barker?
Well, Jenny, I could point to in particular projects, but I was reflecting on this the other day and the great privilege it is to serve the people of Barker in the federal parliament. And I think it's hard to escape the fact that in the last 2 years in particular, we've dealt with a one in a century pandemic. And there were dark times during that for me, for the community, for individual business holders, for employees. And a bit like staring at a mountain that you think you'll never climb over the top of, I think my proudest moment is to look back at what we've achieved together over the last 24 months and think, you know what, we took that COVID thing on, we did it in a uniquely Australian way, and we're better positioned than any other jurisdiction anywhere in the world. We said going into that we would work hard every day to save lives and livelihoods. Got to tell you, I'm so proud of what the Australian people have been able to achieve after the last 24 months. And to think I played a small role in that, representing the people of Barker and assisting the people of Barker through that very challenging period is probably my proudest moment over the last 3 years. And I often think about the eight people who preceded me in this role. There's only been nine members of Barker since 1903. And outside of those members who served during the First and Second World Wars, I think this has been the most challenging period. And I'll never be able to hold a candle to those guys. But the reality is, as a community, we stood up when we needed to. And I'm looking forward for our nation, our community, and our electorate to take the advantage of being so well positioned going into this post-pandemic period.
Although the cost of living is a big one, and that's something that we'll need to tackle in some way, tell me about the Liberal response to the challenging rising costs of things like produce and petrol and things like that.
Jenny, you're absolutely right. The cost of living is an issue that is really biting. We've taken immediate action in terms of cutting fuel excise by half for the next 6 months. That's 22 cents a litre reduction. We've provided one-off payments of $420 to assist 10 million Australians. And there's also been, of course, a one-off payment of $250 for those on pensions and others. But those are the short-term measures. I'm more focused on the medium and long-term measures. Over 8.5 years in government, actively reduced taxes so that we're moving to a tax system that has 95% of Australians paying no more than 30 cents in the dollar. I mean, many of your listeners pay up to 47, a marginal tax rate of 47 and plus cents in the dollar. Locking in that 30 cents in a dollar is so important. I've made in recent months a real focus of childcare, both accessibility but also affordability. And the other big piece for me has been what we've been able to do in the last 3 years on the cost of electricity. 3 years ago, everyone was talking about the cost of electricity. It was spiralling out of control. And because we have refocused the energy market, put our focus on a gas-led recovery, we've been able to see reductions in household electricity bills, which is making a difference. But the reality is, Jenny, when I think of cost of living and how hard it is, I do also think about our record low unemployment rates. I just imagine how difficult it would be if it wasn't a case that effectively almost every Australian who wants a job can get one. So we've got to keep our economy strong. If we keep our economy strong, we keep investing in the services people need, like Medicare, like the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, and we can keep making allowances for those cost of living increases. But the worst thing we could do, the worst thing we could do is effectively risk that strong economy putting pressures on things like the ability to get a job, upward pressure on interest rates and these things. So elections are choices, just like I'm presenting my portfolio of work locally over the last 3 years and the years leading up to it. We're also doing that on a national level and people will need to make that choice. Do you want a Albanese-led Labor government with Penny Wong as finance as foreign minister and Christina Keneally as potentially as defence minister, or do you want a Scott Morrison-led government with Josh Frydenberg as treasurer and Peter Dutton as defence minister?
So with those tax cuts, though, that's taking money out of government, which means we do have this massive deficit, quite a significant one, having paid for a lot of policies to support people during the pandemic. How are we going to pay for all of this?
Well, the reality is if you can reduce the tax burden, you increase economic activity, and in a way you can actually generate more revenues for government. So a couple of things there. If you've got a more active economy, by reducing the tax rates, there's more activity and so there's actually more tax revenue. But the other thing is one of the real savings we've seen over recent years is because we've been able to reduce the unemployment rate to less than 4%, our welfare bill is nothing compared to what it used to be. So, in terms of addressing the deficits going forward, it's a combination of commodity prices like iron ore, which are steaming ahead, which is fantastic. But it's also not just what you receive as revenue, taxes, it's also what you're expending. And the single largest bill that the Commonwealth pays every week, every fortnight, is our welfare bill, that commitment we make to Australians who are out of work. And that's at almost historic low. So if we can keep the economy strong, we're best positioned to deal with those deficits going forward.
Liberal Member for Barker, Tony Passon's with us. Now, you've had a woman sitting outside your office in a protest for some time. I'm not sure if she's still there.
I said hello to Dawn this morning.
Dawn, yes. It's been quite an endeavour, actually, for her. She's really concerned about an erosion of funding in the NDIS. She's not the only one. Other candidates have spoken about this, as well as Community Living Australia's Mark Kalinske. What do you want to do about this? Is there anything that you think that should be done? Are you happy with the way the NDIS is going?
Well, there's a couple of things there. There's the systematic and the individual. In terms of Dawn and her family's circumstance, can I tell you they have a dispute with the independent authority, the National Disability Insurance Agency. My office has been assisting Dawn for over 2 years in relation to that, and I understand Dawn has no particular beef with me or my office. She's using the location to make a statement about government, and that's fine. In fact, a local journalist, when speaking to Dawn, said she actually has a really good relationship with Mr. Passon. She thinks highly of him. That's very kind of her. But we continue to assist her with her dispute with the independent authority, the National Disability Insurance Agency. It's separate to government. In terms of the more substantive, then there has been year-on-year increases to the NDIS. I think the NDIS is the government doing its best work. The Parliament, actually. It was established under Labor. It was fully funded under us. The reality is the demands on that system are ever-growing, and that's a challenge. It's a world-first insurance scheme, just like our pharmaceutical benefits scheme or our universal healthcare. It's an entitlement Australians have because they're Australian, and it's something we should be incredibly proud of. In other jurisdictions around the world, you don't receive these very significant National Disability Insurance Scheme plans to support people with a disability, but there are challenges, and that challenge is about how many people are being admitted to the scheme every year, and we'll need to deal with that. But I get back to what I said earlier, Jenny. Unless you've got a strong economy, you don't have the resources to invest in things like the National Disability Insurance Scheme, aged care, Medicare or the pharmaceutical benefit scheme. That's why I'm so focused on a strong economy so we can make those contributions and support vulnerable Australians in need.
And just lastly, Tony, what's coming up after the election? If you're given another term, what are you excited to be working on?
Well, there's one project here in Murray Bridge that I'm very excited about, and yesterday I was able to make an announcement. It's the Murray Bridge Basketball Stadium, and I announced down at the stadium that a re-elected Morrison government would contribute an additional $3 million to that facility. That would bring our overall commitment thus far to building a new state-of-the-art Murray Bridge basketball and multi-sport facility to $5 million. Overall, there's just shy of $7 million being allocated to that endeavour by state, local and federal governments. And I'm so excited about building a stadium that the people of Murray Bridge can be proud of.
Thanks so much for your time, Tony.
Cheers.